This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to a juz a day. Today we are covering the 23rd juz of the Quran. The 23rd juz of the Quran includes in it Surah 36, Surah Yasin, Surah 37, Surah As-Safat, Surah 38, Surah Sad, and Surah 39, Surah Az-Zumar. Part of Surah 39, not all of it, inshallah. So that is what we have in front of us today. Alhamdulillah, we are coming towards the end of our study of the Quran. This is like, you know, usually this part of the Quran, if you're reading, it signifies that you're like in the last leg, so to say, of your reading and your study. And that is where we are now. Let us get started with Surah Yasin. Surah Yasin starts with the letters Yasin. These are two letters of the disjointed letters of the Quran. The disjointed letters is a very unique Quranic style to start the surah with. And we've seen a few examples of it. And we are going to see a few more examples of it in a row, particularly when we get to the surahs that begin with Hamim. Generally, these disjointed letters are conveying that idea that this is the alphabet of the Arabic language. And Allah is implicitly challenging the people to say, if you think this is the speech of man, here is your alphabet, produce a Quran like it. That's the that's what these letters signify, among other things. Yasin, wal Quran il Hakim. Yasin, by the Quran full of wisdom. Innaka lamin al mursaleen. You are indeed one of the messengers. Ala siratin mustaqim, on a straight path. Tanzeel al-Aziz al-Rahim, with the revelation sent down by the Mighty One, the Merciful. لِتُنذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أُنذِرَ آبَاؤُهُمْ فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ. So that you may warn a people whose fathers were not warned, whose forefathers did not receive prophets, and thus they are unaware. لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى أَكْثَرِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. But most of those people, the people of Makkah specifically here, that the word has proved true against the greater part of them, they will not believe. This is the thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, the Prophet is sent as an introduction to the people of Makkah. But he's also, that's the immediate recipients of his da'wah, of his invitation. He's sent to all of humanity, ammatan, like, or kafatan, as the previous surah has mentioned, and many other parts of the Quran mentioned. But the first audience that he has, the very first people who receive his message are the people of Makkah. Okay, so that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to here. He says, "Inna ja'alna fi a'naqihim aghlala," and this is a specific instance, or the ayah specifically talking about the people of Makkah and anybody who resembles the people of Makkah in their rejection of the Prophet ﷺ, right? The rejection of the people of Makkah was intense, severe. It was the worst kind, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likens it to the rejection of the Pharaoh, you see? But it's not only limited to them. Anybody who acts their way is included in this. What is the example here? إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ أَغْلَالًا. We have put yokes around their necks, right up to their chins. So they cannot bow their head. It's like, you know, the it's like they can't look down. It's an image of they're unable to, you know, look down. And then we have set a barrier before them and set a barrier behind them. My daughter wants to really participate here. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا. I'm trying to like drown out her voice, but I could not do it. It's okay, Nasi's gone. We have set a barrier before them and a barrier behind them. And we've covered them up so they cannot see. Okay. So the idea is this. The yokes are up to their chin, so they cannot look down. There's a barrier in front. There's a barrier behind. And for فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ, they're fully covered up. So they are in complete darkness, unable to move their head, unable to see anything. And this is their state. سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. Spiritually, this is a metaphor for their spiritual state, their spiritual heart. It makes no difference to them whether you warn them or not, they will not believe. It makes no difference to them, alayhim. It doesn't make it still, O Prophet, you still remind them. This is the beauty. The Prophet was inviting some people in Mecca who right off the bat refused to even entertain the possibility of accepting him as a prophet. They actually knew he was a prophet, but to accept him as a prophet and follow him, that was a complete no-go for them. Okay, and this is the people that Allah describes. This is the sentiment you find in many, many people, right? For them, even if this was somehow proven to be true to them, right? If the proofs of Islam are shown to them and they don't have a refutation for it, it's too much for their ego to take, to accept the Prophet as the last prophet, to accept becoming a Muslim. It's too much for their ego to handle. And this is the metaphor Allah gives for people like that. And he says, it really, you know, for them, it's actually irrelevant what you say to them. But for you, O Prophet, it's not irrelevant. You continue to warn. You continue to remind, because your job is to remind, okay? And you're the people who follow you and the people who will listen to you is the one ittaba'a dhikra wa khashiya ar-rahmana bil ghaib, the one who follows the reminder and fears the gracious God in the unseen, right? These are the two prerequisites for attaining guidance. Man ittaba'a dhikra, follow the reminder, like you're actually paying attention and you are following it in the sense that you have understood it, right? You have understood it, you have processed it, and you're engaging with it in this manner. Ittaba'a dhikr, also following it means that what it says, you do it. Okay. And your heart has the fear of Allah, has the fear of the Almighty God. In it you understand that there is an Almighty, all-powerful being, the one who is inexhaustible in its power. Completely dominant over all things. You understand that. And when you have that as a state in your heart, that is when فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ, that is the person who will receive the good news of forgiveness and a noble reward. Okay. The theme of the surah is to tell the Prophet to be optimistic. Don't lose hope. People will say all sorts of rubbish. People will act in manners that are completely inappropriate. Things will happen in life that are unpleasant, okay? But all of that should not make you a pessimistic person. Be, optimistic about what you're doing. That is actually a fruit of iman. Having faith in Allah gives us optimism, because we say, we know Allah is in control and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let us go to waste. And Allah will protect us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the best for us. That is the source of optimism. And then if we're doing something good, okay, that sometimes is not always a linear path. You know, it goes up and down. So be optimistic that even when there's bad stuff happening, there's someone who is going to take heed. Someone will pay attention to what you are saying. Okay. Here Allah gives example of three anonymous prophets. Okay. And very interesting, the example. وَضُرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ, recounted to them the example of the people to whose town our messengers came. Okay? Anonymous. The names are not mentioned in the Quran. Okay? إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ, we sent them two messengers. They rejected them both. So we strengthened them with a third. فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ, and they said, we have been sent to you by God as messengers. These people were, they received not one, not two, but three messengers. Okay. They said, no, you are nothing but mortal men. And God Almighty has not revealed anything. You're lying. You're making it up. The Prophet said, no, we're not lying. Our Lord has sent us and we've been sent to you. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ, our duty is to convey the message to you clearly. Our duty is not to force you to accept the religion. Our duty is to convey the message as we've been given to you. All right. What do they say after that first slur or that trope? The next trope, inna tatayyarna bikum, we see an evil omen in you. There's no evil omens. We don't believe in this stuff. Okay? There's nothing like that. We only believe in, like the Prophet said,
he would say they believe in a good omen, not in the sense like the omen is bringing you something, but if something is making you positive and optimistic, that's a good thing, and we accept that and we believe in that. That we are, that expresses our hope. But there's nothing as like an evil omen that something is bad is going to happen because, you know, like a cat crossed the street, or you walked under a ladder, or you live on the 13th floor or something. All this is nonsense. All this is complete nonsense. We don't believe in any of that. But they hear these people are blaming the prophets to be some sort of evil, bringing about evil omens. If you don't stop, we shall certainly stone you, and you will certainly suffer a painful punishment at our hands. قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ says, your evil omens are with you, right? That's your, you made them up, that's yours, right? Why are you projecting them upon us, okay? You are people who are transgressing all bounds. Look at this. You would think that there is no optimism to be had here. These are really pathetic people. But one of these people believed. Most of them disbelieved, but there's one man who believed. From the furthest part of the city, a man came running, and he said, oh, my people, follow the messengers. Follow the one who asks of no money from you, and they are rightly guided. Right? Look, they're not in it for the money. They're not, you know, there's no ulterior motives here. They are, why should I not worship the one who fatharani, brought me into being? And he is going to be the one that who will hold us accountable. Why should I worship anyone besides him? Right? It makes no sense. Allah is the one who brought me into existence. The only one who brought me into existence. He's the only one I should worship. He's the only one who can hold me accountable. He's the only one I should worship. He's the only one who can inflict or intend harm and good to me. No one else can do that. لا ينقذون. Right? They cannot. If I was to do this, إني إذا لفي ضلال مبين, I would be in complete, clear, manifest error. I have believed in my in your Lord, فَاسْمَعُونَ, so listen to me. Okay, this is what happened. This is what this man said. Now, what's interesting is the Quran says, قِيلَ دْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. We said to him, enter paradise. It seems like they killed him. It seems like because he took this public stand, his people, these evil people, killed him. And as he was killed, it was told to him, enter paradise as a martyr. And then he says, look at the goodness in this man's heart. He says, قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ. He's not like, all right, alhamdulillah, I made it. And those people I wish would be now punished for killing me. No, he says, I wish my people knew how my Lord has forgiven me and placed me among the honored ones. I wish they knew how merciful my Lord is. I wish they knew how good what goodness awaits them. But they did not, they're hell-bent on rejecting the prophets. And, you know, it doesn't say, but it seems like they probably killed the prophets too, right? Because after this, the Quran says, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ جُنْدٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. There was no more help coming to them, okay? إِنْ كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. And then there was one great blast and they fell down lifeless. You see, this is the interesting story of the three prophets, the anonymous prophets. They had almost nobody who believed in them. Maybe one man at most. One man, maybe a few more people who the Quran doesn't mention, but it just one person. And this is a evil town. They killed that one person. And they probably did harm to the prophets as well. The Quran doesn't mention those details, but it's not beyond imagination. And then they were destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a result. But this is the thing. The lesson is, you do your best and always someone will listen. Something good will come out of it. If you are someone who is doing good, and Allah will assure that good that you have done will not go to waste. On the day of judgment, the Prophet said that there are some prophets who come and they have, you know, a few followers with them. Only a few people accepted their message. And then a prophet will come and he has, you know, another handful of followers. And a prophet will come who has two followers. A prophet will come who has one follower. A prophet will come who has no followers. Nobody accepted Islam at this person's hand. But they're all great prophets and they all tried. And they are held in the highest esteem. The point for us is we keep working and Allah will never waste our deeds as long as we are sincere to Him. Okay. Ayah number 31 gives us the reality of life and death and a reason to take heed. Okay? Do they not see how many generations we have destroyed before them? Never shall they return to them. أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ وَإِنْ كُلُّ لَمَّا جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ And all of them will be brought to account to us. Okay? This is something Allah says. Historically, Allah has destroyed people who rejected prophets. Everyone will be held accountable. In that is a sign for you to take heed that your life is short. It could end at any time. It won't be a punishment from the sky like the punishment for these people. It won't be like that. It won't be like the flood of Nuh alayhi salam. But tragedy strikes at any time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for your time is up, will take your life. And then you are going to be gathered and you are going to be held accountable. So that's the lesson to take heed from, for all of us. It speaks about the resurrection after death, a example of it. The example that the Quran gives in many places. Lifeless earth, how Allah revives it and produces grain from it from which you eat. Okay, this is a sign of Allah's graciousness and also His power to bring into existence or bring to revive the dead after it had passed away or to revive something that's dead, excuse me. Okay. The different diversity of creation, date palms and vines and springs, so we can eat afala yashkurud and enjoy, right? Would they not be grateful? لِيَأْكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِهِ وَمَا عَمِلَتُ أَيْدِيهِمْ So that they may eat its fruits, though it was not their hands that made this, will they not be grateful? It says, ayah number 36, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا Holy is He who has created all things in pairs, of what the earth grows, and of themselves, and other things that which they do not know of. A sign for us is the night, how we withdraw from it the light of the day, and then they're left in darkness. The process is so serene, if you were to observe it, right? It's such an amazing thing to witness. And a sign for us is the sun. It follows its determined course. That is the path. That's the determination of the Almighty, the All-Knowing. The moon. We have ordained phases for the moon until it becomes like an old date stock. حتى عاد كالعرجون القديم. للشمس ينبغي لها أن تدرك القمر. ولا الليل سابق النهار. The sun cannot overtake the moon, nor can the night outpace the day. Each floats in its own orbit. وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ The Quran, when it speaks about these things, it speaks about it from the vantage point of a person on the earth. The idea is, the order is so perfect. It's not like the sun will, somehow miss rising, okay? Or that night will somehow become, all of a sudden, like it will come out of order, okay? Nothing. The order is so perfect and it's so set, it will happen exactly that way. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to point out to you. Like it's the perfection of harmony and order in the universe. That for us, وَكُلُّنْ فِي فَلَكِي يَسْبَحُونَ is a sign for us to consider and to think about. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns to some scenes from the day of resurrection. The scenes from the days of resurrection, Allah says, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ The trumpet will be blown. And at once they will rise up from their graves and hasten to their Lord. Okay, this is the scene from the Day of Judgment. They would say, woe be to us. قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا Who has roused us up from our sleep? هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ This is what the Lord of Mercy has promised, and the messengers spoke the truth. Too late to accept it now. إِنْ كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا It will be but one blast. And then they will all be brought back to us together for accountability. And on that day, no soul shall suffer any injustice. فَالْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا Not even in the least. وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ And you shall be rewarded only according to your deeds. Right? What you have done, what your actions are, that is what you will get the reward of. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just. He is the most merciful. And that is the why He is the one who will hold us accountable. Okay. It speaks about the people of paradise. Inna ashab al jannat al yawma fi shughulin fakihun. The people of paradise shall be happily occupied on that day, enjoying themselves. Hum wa azwajuhum fi dhilalin. They and their spouses, azwaj again, the spouses here, fi dhilalin, reclining on couches in the shade. This is an expression, the images of relaxation. Okay, it's not just a mere couch and shade. You can get couch and shades in the earth as well. But the image is, you are relaxing and enjoying. There's no stress. There's no grief. لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَا. And they will have fruits therein. وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ. And what they demand, whatever they call for, they'll get. فَاكِهَا is again an expression of the luxuries, the enjoyment. So they will be enjoying themselves. And whatever they want, they'll be getting. Most importantly, most beautifully, سَلَامٌ قَوْلًا مِنْ رَبِّ الرَّحِيمِ. Peace shall be the greeting from the merciful Lord. Okay, we ask Allah to make us of these people. Okay, it speaks about people of the fire of hell in ayah number 64. That they are the ayah number 59. There will be called on the day of judgment as and labeled as ayyuhal mujrimun, the criminals. Why are they called criminals? Because, it's maybe not everybody of them did a crime. But this crime here is the crime of disbelief after having received the message or rejecting the inner fitrah, the moral compass, rejecting it and suppressing it and destroying it. That is the crime that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to here. Okay. There is an interesting thing the Quran says about the people realizing the mortality and the finite nature and the fleeting nature of life. Ayah number 68. وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. If he extends anyone's life, we reverse his development. Can they not use reason? This, a person, as they go older and older, they become weaker and weaker. And they're, kind of, in a way, digressing back. There's exceptions, obviously, in individuals who remain healthy and, very fit until the end of their lives. But overall, when a person, generally speaking, the older they get, the weaker they get in body and mind. Okay. And it's kind of like you're walking back all the progress you made physically and mentally until you are. Kind of like you've lost all the gains you made as an adult. Okay, that is a sign, afala ya'qilun, for the weakness of man, for the finiteness of this world, for the fact that it's not meant to be a place of permanence. It's meant to be a place that's temporary. All of us recognize that, and all of us, this should cause us to think about our purpose. Right? Is what is really like, there's so much agency, so much choice, so much intellect we've been given for what exactly? Just so we can enjoy and have a nice retirement account and that's it? It's got to be something more. And that's the, again, the fitrah calling a human and asking them to think about that. Okay? The Prophet Salam is described that he is not a poet. وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرِ. He's bringing this message, and this message, as beautiful as it sounds, it's not poetry. Arabic poetry, classical Arabic poetry, not the riffraff of today. Talking about the ancient ones. Those had a very, very particular style. Very particular, like mizan, like scales of poetry. They were very precise about that. This Quran doesn't fit any of that. It's unprecedented literature-wise in the history of Arabic literature. وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرِ. You have not taught him any poetry, and it's not fitting for him. This is merely a reminder and a clear Quran. Its purpose is to invite people, to warn those who are truly alive. Man kana hayya. Hayyan in what sense? Alive in what sense? Their soul is alive. Their heart is alive. And its purpose is to justify God's word against the deniers. Those who reject it, this Quran will serve as evidence for their rejection. Ayah number 76 speaks about, how the Prophet ﷺ was grieved and saddened by people's stubbornness. فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ. And he was saddened by what they said. as you saw in the very beginning of the surah, the Quran spoke about these people who had completely ruled out the possibility of following the Prophet and accepting as a Prophet, even if they knew he was a Prophet, because they knew him as a person better than anybody else, because they lived around him, they saw him grow up, they grew up with him, they trusted him with their amana, their safekeeping, their trusts, they accepted his judgment, everything, and yet here they're saying these things to him, and it would hurt the Prophet, but Allah tells him, don't be grieved by their words. Inna na'lamu ma yusirruna wa ma yu'linun. We have knowledge of all that they conceal and all that they revealed. A very beautiful passage in Surah Yasin to conclude the Surah. Awalam yaral insanu. And this is something for us, all of us, to think about. Everybody to think about this example. Does man not see that we created him from a drop? Anna khalaqnahu min nutfa. Fa'idha huwa khasimun mubin. And yet there he is, flagrantly contentious. Flagrantly contentious. Khasimun mubin. What is he contentious about? What is he arguing about? وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا. Producing arguments against us, forgetting his own creation, forgetting the reality of his own creation, saying, مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. Who can give life back to bones after they have rotted away? Who's going to do that? How is that going to happen? قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً. Say, he who brought them into being in the first instance will give them life again. And he has knowledge of every type of creation. He is the one who has produces fire from you, from green trees, and from this you kindle fire. فَإِذَا أَنْتُ مِنْهُ تُوْقِدُونَ. Okay? It's interesting, almost like a paradox, because green trees have moisture and, you know, it has water, but it's burning in the fire. And it is, you know, fire and water are kind of like in paradox existing in this state here, right? Of course, as fire burns, the moisture evaporates. But there's instances of certain types of trees where they still contain moisture while they are on fire. Okay? What this example is showing is, things in the natural world happen that, if you were to remove an example and remove that example, you would think that this is a paradox, right? Same thing about resurrection. You would think, how is that possible? Well, it's not. It is possible. It seems far-fetched to you, but it is possible. In fact, it is something that is a fact, because Allah has brought you into existence the first time. He will bring you back. Just like this example of the fire is demonstrating here, it seems like, if you were to remove it from your picture, it seems kind of bizarre, but it is there. أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ. Is he who created the heavens and the earth not able to create others like these people? Of course. بَلَىٰ وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. Of course he is. He is indeed the supreme creator, the all-knowing. Okay? They might think of themselves as very important, very, fundamental to the existence of everything. But Allah says people live and die. And Allah is the one who creates and He knows. His command, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. When He decrees a thing, He need only say be, and it is. فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. So glory be to him, in whose hands, who has the control over all things, and it is to him that you will be brought back to be judged again, to be held accountable. So this is Surah Yasin, a surah that makes us think and makes us wonder about our purpose in life. And as those of us who are trying to help others and ourselves find our purpose, the message is, be optimistic. Don't give up hope, inshallah. Okay, then Surah number 37, Surah As-Saffat. Surah As-Saffat. One of the things in Surah As-Saffat you will notice is a phrase that will repeat many, many times. Okay, I'm actually going to go to the phrase first. I'm trying to find my notes here. Yes, okay. I'm going to go to the phrase first before we go to anything else. Okay. The phrase that repeats over and over again is this one, ayah number 80. And ayah number 81. Okay. Ayah number 80 says, Inna kadhalika najzil muhsinin. This is how we recompense the righteous. What does recompense mean? Payback. This is how we pay back the righteous. Meaning, the one who do good. In fact, righteous is not a great translation. Muhsinin here is the ones who are the doers of good. Indeed, we thus reward the doers of good. Excellent. Okay. Innahu min ibadina al-mu'minin. Indeed, he was of our believing servants. This phrase will repeat again and again and again. Okay. Look, ayah number 80. Then ayah number 105. Then ayah number 110. Ayah number... ayah number 121, talking about Musa. That before was Ibrahim. 121 about Musa and Harun. Then ayah number 131. Then again, in ayah number... Sorry, where'd it go? Sorry, that's the last instance of it. Sorry. Yeah, that's the last instance of my bad. So this phrase repeats a number of times in the surah. Inna kadhalika najzil muhsinin. Okay. Now, why did I share that with you? Because that is, if a phrase in the Quran is repeating in a surah, that's actually like a point that Allah is trying to make. This is the point that He is making, that Allah, His prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of them. He makes sure that they're successful, and He makes sure that they get their reward for the hard work that they did in calling people to the worship of Allah. Okay? This is how we reward the doers of good. This is how we will reward the doers of the good. Okay? This phrase repeats again and again to remind us to be doers of good, and Allah will take care of our of everything else. Okay? The rest is in the hands of Allah, just like these prophets. Okay? That's what As-Saffat is referring to. That's one of the things you will find running as a theme throughout the surah. Okay, another interesting theme that you will find in this surah, or another interesting thing that you will notice in this surah is in the very beginning there is a back and forth of mockery, about the tenets of faith, mockery about the resurrection, mockery about the Prophet Sallam, and then each time there's the mockery, there is a response that the Quran gives. And then there is a very interesting scene in paradise that we are, shown in this surah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to talk about His righteous servants, the doers of good, the prophets. Let's start with As-Saffati Saffa, by those angels lined up in rows, and those who drive the clouds, the angels, and those who recite the message. Inna ilahakum lawahid. Indeed, your God is one. The one who is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and that is between them, and the Lord of the sun rises. Rabbul Mashariq. The sun rises here is referring to, like, the sun rises at different times in different places on earth. So that's what it's referring to, Al Mashariq. Okay. This is a beautiful introduction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath here. This is the first time you're seeing a surah that begins with an oath, and there's going to be many afterwards. The oath is taken by something that is either like a specific object or something like a concept. Here is the concept of the angels. And the angels, how they are lined up in rows when they are worshiping Allah. And when they'll be lined up in rows on the Day of Judgment, they are the ones who are responsible for the upkeep of the universe. Of course, there's physical laws that Allah has created, but there's also a spiritual dimension to all these things. And the angels are the ones who are in charge of that. They are the ones who are in charge of the revelation, recitation of it. Of course, Jibreel is the one who brought the revelation. All of this, Allah takes an oath by to say, to strengthen the argument that He's making, which is your Lord is one. Okay, only one. Many angels, many prophets, many creation, but Lord is one. And He is the one who is the Lord of the heavens and the earth and all that's between them. And all the beauty and all the magnificence you see, like these sunrises. Okay. So the people, this is the beautiful introduction. Now the people are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fastafthihim, ayah number 11. Inquire of them, O Prophet, Are they stronger or more difficult in creation or those others that we have created? Indeed, we created man from sticky clay. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ طِينٍ لَازِبٍ. Meaning, like, you know, why are you so arrogant? Your origins are very humble. Remember that. بَلْ عَجِبْتَ وَيَسْخَرُونَ. But you wonder while they mock. وَإِذَا ذُكِّرُوا لَا يَذْكُرُونَ. And when they are reminded, they remember not. وَإِذَا رَأُوا آيَةً يَسْتَسْخِرُونَ. When they see a sign, they ridicule it. And what do they say? They say, this is obvious magic. This is a joke. This is, you know, sounds really nice. And some people are getting, attracted by it. But this is just, you know, what a magician does, right? And how inconceivable is it that when we have died and become dust and bones, we're going to be inna lamab'uthun, brought back to life. Awa aba'una al-awwalun, and our forefathers as well, those who lived so long ago, right? Their remains are decayed in the earth. All of us, qul na'am, say yes, all of you. Wa antum dakhirun, and you will be rendered contemptible because of your contemptible attitude and contemptible actions and statements in the world. That is how you will be on the day of judgment as well. How is it going to be? فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. It'll be one shout. And once, فَإِذَا هُمْ يَنْظُرُونَ. Immediately they're brought back to life and they will be looking and observing. And they would say, woe to us. This is the day of judgment. This is the day of recompense. The day of payback. هَذَا الْيَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ. The day, they'll be said, this is the day of judgment that you said would not happen. You used to deny it. Today you are in trouble. The angels will be told to gather those who committed wrong, all of them together, all the kinds of people they're associated with, and all who scheme together, all that they worship besides Allah, min dunillahi fahduhum ila sirat al-jahim, guide them to the path of the fire of hell. But before they go there, waqifuhum innahum mas'ulun, they are going to be questioned. Their punishment is going to not just be the burning of the fire. The punishment is going to be, there's going to be a psychological element to the punishment, which is the humiliation through this questioning and interrogation. What is wrong with you today? Why don't you help each other? مَعَلَكُمْ لَا تَنَاصَرُونَ. But today they will be in surrender. مُسْتَسْلِمُونَ. مُسْتَسْلِم, from the word سِين لَا مِيم, from the same word you get Islam. You are asked to be a Muslim. You are asked to submit. But today, when you were in the world, you did not submit. But today, you are going to be mustaslim, the one who surrenders. When you were becoming a Muslim, you were doing this out of choice. When you are mustaslim, it doesn't matter what you choose. You have no choice at this point. وَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. They will try to help. They will try to blame each other. They will try to blame each other and say, it's your fault. It's your fault. It wasn't like we had, the weak will say, you know, you used to tell us to stop this. But لم تكونوا مؤمنين. The powerful will say, well, you yourselves were not believers. And this and that. But all of this, فَإِنَّهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ فِي الْعَذَابِ مشتركون. Ayah number 32 says, we led you to deviation. Indeed, we were deviators. Indeed, they that day will be sharing in the punishment. Indeed, they that day will be sharing in the punishment. It doesn't matter what you cannot blame someone for your choices. You cannot blame someone for suppressing your fitrah. You cannot blame someone for immoral choices you made. You made them. Okay? And there, Allah sends reminders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends reminders to everyone to wake them up. Nobody is left just floating around the universe and then they appear on the day of judgment. Okay? And then this kind of reminders are many, many types. Tragedy that strikes personally. You know, inspiration Allah sends to people. The fitrah that's in the soul, the moral compass that's in the soul. All of these things. The message from the prophets. The message of the prophets of Sallam. The divine revelation. It appears in one shape, in one combination or the other, in lives of people. But how it is that on that day, if that a person has rejected and just couldn't, wouldn't have cared less about any of those, then that day there is no one to blame but themselves. Inna kadhalika najzil or naf'alu bil mujrimin. Indeed, this is how we deal with the criminals. They were the ones when it was said to them, there is la ilaha illallah, there is no deity but Allah. They were arrogant. Look at that, right? So, mockery response. Now, mockery of the Prophet ﷺ. يَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّ لَتَارِكُ أَهْلِيَتِنَا لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونَ. Are we supposed to give up our idols, our way of life, for this crazy poet? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to that, that no, he is not a poet, he is not insane. He's coming with the truth, and he is confirming the revelation of the previous messengers. The people who are in punishment, they are going to be the tasters of the punishment. ذَائِقُ الْعَذَابِ الْأَلِيمِ. But not because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but because of their own, what their actions, what their hands have earned themselves. But the people of paradise, not so. They will be safe. The believers will be saved. They will be given رِزْقٌ مَعْلُومٌ, a beautiful provision, a determined provision, something that's well known. فَوَاكِهُ, fruits. وَهُمْ مُكْرَمُونَ, and they'll be honored. فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ, in gardens of pleasure. عَلَى سُرُورٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ, on thrones facing each other. The food that you get in Jannah, فَرِزْقٌ مَعْلُومٌ, it says determined, but actually ma'lum means something that's well known. The food and the fruit looks like what you have eaten in the world. When you taste it, it is a completely different, taste and sensation. Okay? If it's ma'lum, it's well known because you know people are apprehensive to try new things, right? So you eat something you're familiar with, but when you eat it and it looks familiar, when you taste it, it is something that you have never tasted like before. Okay. عَلَى سُرُورٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ, on thrones facing each other, and there are, there will be circulated among them a cup of wine from a flowing spring. Okay, wine is passed around them, and they will drink, white and delicious to the drinkers. بَيْضَاءَ لَذَّةً لِلشَّارِبِينَ. But this alcohol, this wine is not intoxicating. It does not have any bad effects in it, nor will they become intoxicated due to it. It is pure taste. There is pure luxury. They will have women with them with limiting glances, with large, beautiful eyes. قَاصِرَاتُ طَرْفِيَعِينَ. This is a gift for the people of paradise, as if they were delicate eggs, well protected. They will ask each other. They would, sit and talk about what happened in the world. One of them would say, إِنِّي كَانَ لِي قَدِينَ. I had a companion, I had a friend in the world. يَقُولُ أَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ. Are you indeed of those who believe? You say, like, you're a believer, really? You're believing in this stuff? Come on, man. Are we going to be, when we have died and become dust and bones, we will indeed be لَمَدِينُونَ, brought back to life and held accountable? Really? That's what's going to happen? قَالَ هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُتَّلِعُونَ. These are people now who are talking in paradise. Okay? Now, as they're talking and they're like, you know what? I had a friend who said this. SubhanAllah. Then it will be said to them, هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُتَّلِعُونَ? Do you want to look? فَاطَّلَعَ فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. They will see that person. They will look and see that person in the midst of the fire of hell. And that person will say, by Allah, you almost ruined me. If it's not the favor of my Lord, I would have been those brought to the fire of hell. This is the person would be realizing that they were saved from the punishment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very interesting scene. It reminds us to make sure that the people that we surround ourselves by, the people who we are, the people who are influences over us, they are righteous people, not those who will take us away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, then Allah says, ayah number 75, وَلَقَدْ نَادَانَا نُوحٌ. فَلَنِعْمَ الْمُجِيبُونَ. Remember the first part I said about إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَزِّي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is how we reward the doers of good, right? The ones who are doing a lot of good. So this is now the passage that speaks about that. Nuh alayhi salam is mentioned initially, right? He made dua and Allah heard his dua, saved him and his family, and made his descendants to be the inheritors of the earth. Like, he didn't win a lot of followers and converts because very few people believed in him. But his progeny ended up being the ones who inherited the earth. And that is, you know, in that there is something to think about, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will carry on the good you have done even after you have lived sometimes in your life. But, you know, if Allah wants to, it will live on after you. Okay? Inna salamun ala Nuhin fil alameen. Peace be upon Noah among the worlds. Inna kadhalika najzil muhsinin. In the worlds here means like, you know, in this world and the next, okay? Inna kadhalika najzil muhsinin. Thus, we indeed, this is how we reward the doers of good. And he is indeed one of our believing servants. And the others, his adversaries, were drowned. Then Allah mentions Ibrahim alayhi salam, ayah number 83 to ayah 113. A very fascinating passage. I'm going to read it to you and then comment a little bit on it, okay? وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. From among his kind was Abraham. إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. And he came to his Lord with a sound heart. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. When he said to his father and his people, what do you worship? مَاذَا تَعْبُدُونَ, excuse me. إِفْكَنْ آلِهَةً دُونَ اللَّهِ تُرِيدُونَ. Is it falsehood as gods other than Allah you desire? فَمَا ظَنُّكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Then what is your thought about the Lord of the worlds? فَنَظَرَ نَظْرَةً فِي النُّجُومِ. He cast a look at the stars and said, indeed, I am about to be ill. فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ. فَتَوَلَّوْا عَنْهُ مُدْبِرِينَ. So they turned away from him, departing. Okay, so this is that story we covered in Surah number 21, where he is going to, he's trying to tell his people to worship Allah. They're like, whatever. And he basically says, I am not going to join you in your celebration. I'm not well. Inni saqim. Okay. They left him and now he's alone in the city. And that's when he faraga ila alihatihim faqala ala ta'kulun. He turned to their gods and said, do you not eat? Ma lakum la tantiqun. What is wrong with you that you do not speak? Faraga alayhim darban bil yameen. He turned upon them a blow with his right hand. فَأَقْبَلُوا إِلَيْهِ يَزِفُّونَ. The people came towards him hastening. قَالَ أَتَعْبُدُونَ مَا تَنْحِيتُونَ. Do you worship that which you yourselves carve? وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And God, which while Allah has created you and that which you do, Allah, you are the creation of Allah, your actions are the creation of Allah, you worship other than Allah, then how does that make any sense? They said, well, أُبْنُوا لَهُ بُنْيَانًا فَأَلْقُوهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ. Construct from him a furnace and throw him into that burning fire. A furnace here is a structure with a fire in it, and toss him in it. فَأَرَادُوا بِهِ كَيْدًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَسْفَلِينَ. They intended to, you know, hurt him, kill him, but Allah made them the most humiliated. He says, إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. Indeed, I will go to my Lord, where I am ordered to, I will go to wherever I'm ordered to by my Lord, he will guide me. Rabbi habili min as-salihin. My Lord, grant me a child from among the righteous. Fabashsharnahu bi ghulamin halim. As you can see, this is a very short, like a short ayat. Like they're quick. And the story is moving also very at a very frantic pace. Okay, he goes to the land. He spends most of his life traveling between land to land. Then he has a child at the very end of his life, right? Fabashsharnahu bi ghulamin halim. But the surah is, you know, like giving us like quick takes here. It's almost like a YouTube short. So we gave him the news, the good news of a forbearing boy. What's forbearing? Halim, someone who is able to control their emotions. Someone who's able to not act when they're angry. Okay. This is the concept of hilm. Not act on your anger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also al-halim, the one who is, does not punish. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not characterized by our emotions, of course, like our fickle emotions. But Allah does not punish the one who he has the capability of punishing and the one who deserves punishment. He withholds it until a time, whether that is in the world at some point or ultimately on the Day of Judgment. That is Allah al-Halim. But the concept of it applied to humans is the one who is able to not act on emotions, especially the emotion of anger, to seek revenge while having the power to extract revenge. That is that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Ismail here as that, and a very wise child. And that's a really great, you know, like you think about it, this is an underrated quality. And we think about leadership and we think about what we want our kids to be. This really should be what we want our kids to be. Haleem, that they have the emotional intelligence to be, you know, in charge of their anger. Their anger is not in charge of them. They're in control of it, right? فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ. When he reached with him the age of exertion, this is like a, you know, 13 years old, just a little bit before he's a teen. He said, "Oh my son, indeed I have seen in a dream that I must sacrifice you. So see what you think." See what you think is okay transition. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى is what do you think, oh my son, I should do? فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى, tell me what you think. And he says, Al-Manam, this is the dream. This is not like some nightmare. This is like the dream from Allah. This is a revelation. Okay? And, but what do you think, my son? But what a beautiful way of approaching, right? Even though this is a revelation from Allah, he's not saying, hey, you know what? I am going to sacrifice you, whatever you think, irrelevant. Come, let, on the ground. That's not what he's doing. He wants Ibrahim al-Islam to ask his son for his opinion. He wants to get buy-in from his son before he proceeds to anything. And subhanAllah, how amazing of an approach that is when it comes to being a father. Someone who is able to, or a leader, right? Able to get buy-in from people, right? Hear their opinion and whatnot. And when that's the way people, if that's the way someone who's in charge is acting, then anything that's, and the people who are their subordinates or their kids, they will act accordingly, appropriately as well. He replied, Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar, O my father, do as you are commanded. Satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin, you will find me, God willing, to be patient and steadfast. Okay. Then Allah says, Falamma aslama wa tallahu lil jabin. When they had both submitted to God and he had laid his son down on his face. And we called out to him, O Abraham, you have fulfilled the dream. Indeed, this thus we reward those who do good. This was a great trial. And we ransomed him with a great sacrifice, the sacrifice of Eid al-Adha. Okay. And the example of him is left for the later generations. وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ سَلَامٌ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ, peace and salutation to Abraham. كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and thus that is how we recompense the righteous. He was one of our faithful servants. Everybody in this passage, Allah says about them once, إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ, we reward those who do good once. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah calls him the righteous twice. Twice he says that about him, because he was the personification of excellence. That's who he was, alayhi salam, and that is the inspiration that he serves for us. Okay. The next prophet that's mentioned is Musa and Harun. Again, they're mentioned as those who Allah bestowed favor upon them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them to the straight path, and they were protected from they won over when nasarnahum, right? They were victorious. They received Allah's victory and help, and they were both from Allah's faithful servants. Inna kadhalika nazil muhsinin, this is how we reward those who do good. Then Allah mentions Ilyas. It says Elijah. I'm not sure if that's Elijah. Okay, but Ilyas was a prophet. Okay, he was from the messengers. He said to his people, "Have you no fear of God? Do you call on Baal and abandon the best of creations?" This is one of the gods that they worshipped. That's why I don't think it's Elijah. Allah rabbakum wa rabba abaikum al-awwalin. Allah your Lord and the Lord of your forefathers. But they said, they rejected him, and thus they will be held accountable. All of them illa ibadallahi al-mukhlasin, except the chosen servants of Allah. The chosen servants of Allah, they are the ones who Allah has chosen to give guidance to. And they are the ones who are the followers of prophets. They are the ones who are the doers of good. كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ, indeed, that is how we reward the doers of good. Okay, thank you. All right. إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, he surely was one of our believing servants. Okay, then you have Lut alayhi salam. وَإِنَّ لُوطًا لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, there is Lut alayhi salam. He was saved by Allah, he was one of the messengers. Allah saved him and his family, but not all of them. His wife was left behind, and the rest were destroyed. Then Allah mentions Yunus, and this is a very interesting passage about Yunus. More details about him are here. Jonah, inna Yunus lamin al mursalin, was one of the messengers as well. إِذْ أَبَقَ إِلَى الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ, when he fled to the overloaded ship. He was not supposed to leave. He was supposed to stay until Allah told him to leave, but he left earlier angrily. Okay, and then when he left, this was an error in judgment. He was held accountable by Allah for that error in judgment. And how was that? فَسَاهَمَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُدْحَضِينَ. They cast lots, and he was the one who lost and was tossed overboard. فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. And then a fish swallowed him while he was blaming himself, or he was blameworthy. فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ. And had he not been of those who acknowledge the glory of Lord, he would say Subhanallah, and he said the dua, لا إله إلا أنت, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. Right? If he didn't say those beautiful words, لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, he would have certainly remained inside the fish until the day of resurrection, meaning like that would have been his end. Okay, but Allah saved him. فَنَبَذْنَهُ بِالْعَرَاءِ, we caused him to be cast forth onto the beach. وَهُوَ سَقِيمٌ, but he was sick. Obviously, he was, imagine the pressure that he was living under. You know, this whale is in the oceans, crushing pressure. So he got sick. وَأَنْبَتْنَا عَلَيْهِ شَجَرَةً مِنْ يَقْطِينَ, we caused a gourd tree to grow over him. And then he was healed by Allah this way. وَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَى مِئَةِ أَلْفٍ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ, we sent him as a messenger to 100,000 people or more. Those people, when Yunus left, they actually believed because they were afraid of Allah's punishment. فَآمَنُوا فَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَى حِينَ, they believed in him, so we let them live in ease for a while. And Yunus alayhi salam returned to them, and they, alhamdulillah, this is one of those exceptional stories where the Prophet, his people accepted Islam, but also the Prophet made an error in judgment, but all's well that ends well. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's threat will be fulfilled. The surah concludes by saying ayah number 165, right? وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ الصَّافُونَ, we are those who stand ranged in the ranks, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold people accountable, and they will be standing in ranks, okay? And they will be then, asked about what they had done. وَإِن كَانُوا لَيَقُولُونَ, they say, لَوْ أَنَّ عِنْدَنَا ذِكْرًا مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ, if we had with us a book like the people of old, we would have been the chosen servants of Allah as well. فَكَفَرُوا بِهِ, and that's why they have rejected it, okay? That's a silly excuse. You know, we don't have a book that Allah sent to us like the previous people. Of course you do, right here. فَكَفَرُوا بِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ, and they shall soon know. وَلَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا لِعِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ, surely our word has gone forth respecting our servants, the messengers. إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُورُونَ, they will be the ones who will be helped. وَإِنَّ جُنْدَنَا لَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ, and it is our host, our group, that will certainly triumph. فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى حِينَ, so turn away from them for a while, O Prophet. وَأَبْصِرْهُمْ فَسَوْفَ يُبْصِرُونَ, watch them, they will soon see. أَفَبِعَذَابِنَا يَسْتَعْجِلُونَ, do they really hasten, do they really wish to hasten our punishment? Right? Because when it comes, فَإِذَا نَزَلَ بِسَاحَتِهِمْ, and it descends on their courtyards, فَسَاءَ صَبَاحُ الْمُنذَرِينَ, how terrible will that morning be for those who receive the warning. That's what history shows us. وَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى هِينَ, turn away from them, give them some time. وَأَبْصِرْ فَسَوْفَ يُبْصِرُونَ, watch, they will also soon see. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ, they'll soon see how Allah will bring about his victory to his Prophet. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ أَمَّا يَصِفُونَ, glory be to your Lord, the Lord of glory, who is far above what they ascribe to him. سَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ, peace be upon the messengers. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, and praise be to God, the Lord of all worlds. Very beautiful ayat. And again, it concludes with Salamun ala al-mursaleen. You notice how the surah before always said Salamun ala Ibrahim, Salamun ala Nuh, Salamun ala Ilyasin, etc., etc. So it concludes with Salamun ala al-mursaleen. So it is, that is Surah Safat. Surah As-Sad, is named as such because of this letter, the disjointed letter Sad. It begins, if you read it, it's read like this. Sad wal Qur'ani dhikr. If you hear the recitation here.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Sad wal Qur'ani dhikr.
This is how it's read. So it's this is not sad. This is the letter Sad spelled out as such. By the Quran, this is an oath. Allah is taking an oath by the Quran, full of reminders. An admonition is a reminder. The Quran is full of it. It is sent as a reminder to us. But of course, the people who deny the truth, they are steeped in arrogance and hostility. And that's why the reminder falls on deaf ears for them. The history is not sufficient for them to take heed. How many generations before have been destroyed? They cried out when it was too late to escape. Too late at that time. وَعَجِبُوا أَنْ جَاءَهُمْ مُنذِرٌ مِّنْهُمْ They are surprised that a warner should come to them from among themselves. They say, this is a magician, a great liar. Has he made all the deities into one god? إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ This is a very strange thing. Right? How come there's only one God now? That's really strange. The leaders departed, saying, walk away, hold fast to your deities. This is clearly a conspiracy. It's something we have not heard of before in the old religion. In hadha illa ikhtilaq. This is nothing but a fabrication. Was he chosen to be a messenger from among all of us? أَأُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ الذِّكْرُ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا In fact, they doubt my warning. بَلْهُمْ فِي شَكِّمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِي بَلَّمَّا يَذُوقُوا عَذَابٍ In fact, they have not yet tasted my punishment. So this is the introduction to Surah Sad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the state of the people of Makkah, right? How they were in this perplexed state, trying to find anything to hold on to as a reason to reject the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? We haven't heard this before, right? How come he was chosen? How come... You know, there's only one God. Like, I mean, what really? How come there's a prophet? How come, he's saying these words? They're looking for any reason to hold on to justify their desire to not follow the Prophet ﷺ as a prophet. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, أَمْ عِنْدَهُمْ خَزَائِنُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ الْعَزِيزِ الْوَهَّابِ Do they possess the treasures of the mercy of your Lord, the mighty and the great bestower? Who is in charge? You are Allah. Who's picking prophets? You are Allah. Allah is the one who picks prophets. You don't pick them. So why are you questioning how come this person was chosen and not that one? Allah is the one who chose. He gives as he pleases in terms of monetary and material giving. This is something far greater. This is prophethood. It's his choice entirely. Or do you think that you have control over the heavens and the earth? Do you control the heavens and the earth? Of course you don't. Okay. So this is what Allah says. This line of reasoning or this kind of questioning is false. This is going to lead you to your destruction. And this was how previous people were. كَذَّبَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ People of Noah denied the truth, as did Aad. As did Fir'aun, as did the people of Thamud, the tribe of Thamud, as did the people of Lot, Ashabul Aika, the dwellers of the wood. This is who Shu'aib was sent to. Ula'ika al-Ahzab, these were the people all together. All of them denied their messengers, treated them as liars. Fahaqqa iqab, and my punishment rightfully overtook them. They were then deserving of my punishment. And the punishment was very severe and very quick. And when it came, they said, رَبَّنَا عَجِّلْ لَنَا قِطَّنَا قَبْلَ يَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ Just give us a little bit more time, O our Lord, before the Day of Judgment. But that was not to be. اصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَاذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا دَاوُدَ ذَلْأَيْدِ Okay. إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ He was, remember our servant David, a man of strength who always turned to us and was always repentant. Now here's the thing that's very interesting. This surah actually will speak about prophets. It's going to speak about three prophets. Dawood, Sulaiman and Ayyub, three main prophets here. Okay, It's going to speak about three main prophets, and then it's going to speak about Iblis. Okay, And what Allah wants to show here is mistakes and errors in judgment. The prophets here have made errors in judgment. We believe the prophets of Allah are protected from sin. They will never sin or do something immoral. Okay? Because that is not befitting of a good person, let alone befitting of the greatest of all people, the prophets. But prophets are humans. They will have lapses in judgment or errors of judgment. That's something that, you know, is to be expected because they are a human being. But the key that makes, or the key that unlocks the greatness of human potential, what makes the prophets the greatest of all, is when they would have an error in judgment, they would immediately accept it, immediately fix it, and immediately resolve to never have that error of judgment ever again. Okay, that repentance and the sincerity, the ferocity, if I can use that word, in repentance, is what made them great. So the three prophets mentioned here, they are shown as when they made their mistakes or errors in judgment, how they then responded to making that, making those mistakes or repenting from those mistakes, and how they resolve to not go back to those mistakes. Those are three. And then Iblis is mentioned because his mistake was not just an error in judgment. He, on the surface, looks like he had an error in judgment, but actually he had a much deeper problem, which is he could not accept at all that Allah chose someone else and not him. And that was the downfall. So the people of Quraysh in the very beginning, and anybody who resembles them, right, just needing, wanting a reason justified to themselves, a reason to disbelieve, the examples are set up for them to say, hey, you can be like the prophets. We can make mistakes and then, you know, acquire the resolve to repent. Or you can be like Iblis, become steeped in your arrogance to the point where you completely, you know, are off into into misguidance completely. These are the two like ends of the spectrum that are shown to you here. Which one would you pick? Okay. Firstly, Dawud alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ نَبَأُ الْخَصْمِ إِذْ تَصَوَّرُ الْمِحْرَابِ Ayah number 21. Have you heard of the story of the disputants when they entered his chamber by climbing over the wall? When they reached David, he took fright. He was afraid. They're like, whoa, who are these two people? They said, don't be afraid. We are two disputants, one of whom has wronged the other. Judge between us fairly, do not be unjust, and guide us the right path. Okay, two people coming to seek judgment of Dawud alayhi salam. Inna hadha akhi, this brother of mine has 99 ewes, and I have only one. Right, ewes a female sheep, I believe. Yes, female sheep, or is it a female sheep? Yes, correct. Alhamdulillah. He said, let me have charge of it. Na'ja, right? That's the Arabic word. Let me have charge of it. And got the better of me with his words. Okay. One guy says, he has 99 ewes. I have one. And he said to me, give me the one. And he got the better of me. وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ Through his words, he got the better of me and took my one ewe. Sounds like an unfair situation, right? But you didn't hear what the other guy had to say. Dawud alayhi salam said, قَالَ لَقَدْ ظَلَمَكَ بِسُؤَالِ نَعْجَتِكَ إِلَى نِعَاجِ He certainly has wronged you by demanding that your ewe be added to his ewes. And thus many partners wrong one another. Many people who are doing business together, they end up wronging each other, except those who believe in God and do the righteous, do righteous deeds. And how few are they? And then what happened? As these two were actually angels that were sent by Allah to send teach Dawud al-Islam a message. These two disappeared. And immediately as that happened, Dawud al-Islam recognized was ظَنَّ دَاوُدُ أَنَّمَا فَتَنَّهُ And suddenly David understood that we were only putting him to the test. So he asked his Lord to forgive him his sins. He fell onto his knees and turned to him in repentance. And then we forgave him his sins, and his reward will be nearness to us, a good place to return. Oh, David, we have given you mastery over the land. Ya Dawud, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. Judge fairly between the people. Don't follow your desires, lest they divert you from God's path. وَلَا تَتَّبِعَ الْهَوَىٰ Because here, he gave into his bias. That's not fair. He has 99, he has one. But maybe he purchased one. Maybe he owed him one, right? But he gave into his biases. And that's what led him to make the wrong judgment. So Allah is telling him, don't do that. lest they divert you from God's path, because that will take you away from God's path. Those who wander from his path will have a severe punishment and reckoning. Okay, so that is example number one. Then here's example number two, Sulaiman. وَهَبْنَا لِدَاوُدَ سُلَيْمَانَ نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ. Look at how Allah speaks about them. He's talking about their errors and judgment. But he doesn't talk about them and says, okay, this is the mistake that they made. He first introduces them by saying that he was an excellent servant who always turned to God, always mentioning the good before the criticism. Okay, here he had well-bred horses, you know, very beautiful horses. And he says, فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَحْبَبْتُ حُبَّ الْخَيْرِ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّي. I put the love of good things above the remembrance of Lord, of my Lord, until the sun disappeared behind its veil and the horses disappeared from sight. رُدُّهَا عَلَيْ. Bring them back to me, he said. And then he began to stroke their legs and their necks. This is, you know, ambiguous for a reason. The story is well known from the Bible. The story of the horses that Solomon sacrificed. Okay. As a mistake that he had made. Okay. Now we don't condone those actions, but what's interesting is Sulaiman alayhi salam was trying to make amends for his mistake. Okay. The way he make amends, we don't do that in Islam today in the same way. But the Quran, you notice, doesn't mention any of that, right? The Quran is using ambiguous terms to kind of hide his error in judgment, and that's a beautiful lesson. When someone makes a mistake, you don't have to do a full expose on them to show them it's wrong. Sometimes you can just cover their flaws and their errors. And that is better for them to learn and to be better. And this is what we see from the way Allah describes the mistake of Sulaiman. Does not go and, you know, really describe it as explicitly as the previous story with Dawood, with very explicit details, 99-1, right here, it's very ambiguous terms to kind of cover up the flaws of Sulaiman, because it was an unfortunate mistake. But then, of course, Sulaiman salam made dua and asked for forgiveness. Rabbi hafirli, oh my Lord, forgive me. Wahabli mulkan, and grant me power like no one after me. You are the gracious, generous provider. So Allah accepted his dua and granted him this. Okay. Then there is Ayyub, right? Ayyub alayhi salam, ayah number 41, Job, who was struggling with sickness, but he in the sickness made the oath to hurt his wife. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he cured him, he said to him, خُذْ بِيَدِكَ ضِيقًا فَضْرِبْ بِهِ وَلَا تَحْنَثْ. Take a handful of twigs in your hand and strike with that, but do not break your oath. Meaning, take like some twigs and touch your wife with them, and that's now you have now fulfilled your oath. And also, you have not hurt your wife. Inna wajadnahu sabiran. We found him to be steadfast. What an excellent servant. He turned constantly to his Lord. At the very end, not all the mistakes are the same. Ayah number 75. Not everybody who makes the mistake is the same. Right? Iblis made the mistake. Istakbara. He was arrogant. He thought himself to be too important, too good. When Allah said to him to bow down to Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, what stopped you from prostrating to what I created with my own hands? Astakbarta, were you overcome by arrogance? Or do you think that you are the only one who's exalted? He said, yes, I am exalted. I am better than him. And this is the mistake that he made. Not all the mistakes are the same. This is at the end of surah number 38, Surah Sad. Very beautiful surah that tells us about how mistakes are part of life. Everyone makes them. It's how you react to your mistakes that determines how good you are. We ask Allah to give us the tawfiq to accept our mistakes and to make amends and to be better and to make repentance, and that he accepts it from us. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, I'll see you all tomorrow when we pick up from Surah Zumar, Surah number 39. And then we go into the Hamims. Okay. Hamims begin with the letter Hamim. They're all coming up tomorrow. Inshallah, I'll see you all same time.